Well, good morning, everybody. We recorded all day yesterday, and my body is saying, boy, you're tired. You're not up to this. But you know what? It's God's ability. It's God's power. And we're just trusting Him that He will give us a word, that He'll give us a word that will be life-changing to our life. You know, we recorded all day yesterday, and then my son and I, we're here in Rogers, Arkansas. And we went out to the lake and we went fishing, and I caught a nice catfish. I don't know, maybe on this video you'll see a picture of it. I don't know. But anyway, a nice catfish, and I love to fish. But you know, there's nothing like fishing for men. I mean, Jesus took some fishermen and He made fishers of men out of those fishermen. And so, that is our goal, Matthew 24:14, that this gospel of the kingdom must go into all the world for a witness, unto all nations, all languages, all people groups, and then the end shall come. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. So yesterday we talked about the Apostle Paul and his conversion, and Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins by calling on the name of the Lord. And we said that that was a New Testament response to the gospel, with accompanied by, first of all, repentance and faith, and then water baptism. And then we're going to see today from the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost that what was added to that element was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look today at what happened in the early church. Because, you know, we have nothing to compare our churches with today except the book of Acts. That's all we have. You know, and at the time of the Reformation and Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli and all of those people, you know, they kind of brought some truth back to the church. But the church was never restored back to the original church like it was in the book of Acts. And that's what needs to happen. And I believe that is what God is doing today, is bringing His church back to a church full of power that can testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the signs of the kingdom operating through that church as it goes out into a lost world and is a witness and is a testimony to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look and see today from Acts chapter 2 what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, what was his message, and how did people respond to the message of salvation. First of all, I just want to say, if we look at Acts chapter 2, we don't have everything recorded that Peter said, but we have a lot of his sermon. And I would have to say, that sermon is a kingdom sermon. Remember, Jesus' message was a message of the kingdom, John the Baptist, then Jesus, then the 12, then the 70. Now we go into the book of Acts, and we have that added element of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that is the foundational truth to bring us under the authority of God when we repent of our sins and turn in faith to Christ. And that price that Jesus paid for our sins at the cross, He came to save sinners, bought us and purchased us completely and totally for the whole of our life, for all of our life. And I have to say it, looking through the book of Acts and beginning here in Acts chapter 2, it is a kingdom message. Now, why would I say it's a kingdom message? Because He's going to tell those that want to respond to this message to do just exactly what Jesus said that a person needed to do to respond to the kingdom of God. Not only that, but there's just phrases in here that show you that this really is a kingdom sermon, so to speak. First of all, we saw in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit descended on those 120, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and there was a sign that accompanied that infilling of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in languages that they did not know. And some people say, well, that wasn't an ecstatic experience. It was known languages. But if you look at it, hey, people said they were drunk. It must have been some kind of a ecstatic experience. They said it's drunk. And Peter said, no, these men are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. This was what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh, both men and women, and on his servants, both men and women. They will prophesy. They will speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And now, he quotes that from the book of Joel of the Old Testament, because Peter is preaching the message of salvation from the only Bible they had at that time, which was the Old Testament. And he's going to say, look, Jesus is that promised Messiah that you were looking for in this, as this king in this kingdom. That's exactly what he's really saying. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, I'm going to read it. Men in Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He brought the signs of the kingdom, overthrowing the demonic power that caused people to be sick, that caused death, that caused disease, and all of these things. We need that in the church today. And people say, oh, that passed away. We don't need that. You need to read your Bible and believe the Bible instead of believing things that you were taught in your seminary and so on and so forth. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose, talking about Jesus, and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Peter is getting very specific to this audience that is listening to him, and he's saying, you, with wicked hands, took Jesus, the promised Messiah, and nailed him to the cross, nailed him to a tree. But God raised him from the dead. And then it goes on in verse 29, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet. King David was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. We're talking about a kingdom. Isaiah 9. We're talking about back in the Old Testament that there was going to be the king come from the lineage of David to set on David's throne. He's talking a kingdom message about the Messiah being Jesus the Christ. Seeing what was ahead, David spoke of the resurrection of Christ. I'm not going to read every verse here, but we can see this kingdom theme that the Jews already had a background in. And then here is a conclusion. In verse 36, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God has raised Jesus from the dead and made him Lord. He is Lord. What does that mean? The absolute authority, master, boss, and he's the Christ. He's been made both Lord and Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the one that was anointed to be king, in whom you should bring servitude under, come under his authority, repent, accept the rule and reign of God through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but you crucified him. And yet he was the one that was to have the authority in your life. He was the one that you were to serve, but you crucified him. And in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. The King James Version says they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, men and brethren, what shall we do? I want you to think of what's happening here. Peter is preaching from an Old Testament passage about the king in the kingdom in which you by wicked hands crucified, but God has raised him up. He is Lord. He is the Christos. He is the Messiah, the one that you should have, you should have repented and accepted his rule and reign, but you crucified him. And they were very convicted in their heart. They stopped Peter in his sermon. Listen to me. They stopped Peter in his sermon and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And you know what? Peter said he was there with the other apostles. So Peter went over to the other apostles, the 12 apostles there, and they're there, and he said, "Now, they're asking what to do to respond to this message of salvation. After our Lord's death for the sins of the world, burial and resurrection, and the preaching of the kingdom, what should we tell them that they should do to respond to this salvation message?" And then John says, "Well, why don't you tell them to ask Jesus into your heart, into their heart? Why don't you just ask him? Why don't you ask Jesus into your heart?" And then Matthias, one of the other apostles, said, No. What they need to do is tell them they need to ask Jesus to be their personal Savior. That's what they need to do. They need to ask Jesus to be their personal Savior. And one of the other apostles said, No, that's not what you do. What they need to do is you invite these people forward now and you get them to repeat a prayer after you, Peter, okay? That's what you need to do to get them to respond to the message of salvation that you're proclaiming here. No, another apostle said, No. What you need to do is just tell them to invite Jesus into their life. That's what you need to do. And so there was a great disagreement among the apostles as to how a person should respond to the gospel message, and a lot of confusion there. No, that's not what happened. What happened was they didn't even have to think about it. Peter didn't even have to consult the other apostles as to how a person responds to this message of the kingdom of God and the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. What did Jesus say? Repent. The first thing that must be done, you must turn from your sin and you must turn to God. You must turn away from your sin and you must turn to God. You must put your faith towards God, and in so doing, you turn away from darkness, you turn to light, you turn from sin, you turn to righteousness, you turn away from the authority of Satan that has deceived you through your sin, and you turn to the authority of God and accept the rule and reign of God. Repent. Immediately, they were convicted, and the message was they needed to repent. For as Jesus had instructed and taught many times, unless you repent, you shall perish. He came to set sinners in reconciliation with God, but Jesus has made his move. He died on a cross and paid the wages of sin, but you must move in repentance and faith and take that step. Now notice here, it says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." After repentance, you're to be baptized, every one of you. There is no exception. Why do we teach people there's exceptions? It doesn't really matter if you're baptized or not. That's not really, you know, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But we say, no, let's change Jesus. Let's change his words. He didn't really mean that. He that believeth and is not baptized will be saved. Why have we changed the Great Commission? Why have we changed the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Peter is saying here, repent and be baptized, every one of you. There is no exception. every one of you in, what does it say? In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what did we learn yesterday about the conversion of the Apostle Paul? Ananias said, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins by calling on the name of the Lord. That it was a response of call. It was a call upon God when they repented and went into the waters of baptism, that they were calling on God, wash away my sins, God. Give me a clear conscience. Look what it says right here. It's very, very clear. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say about this? He says, don't you know that when you were baptized into his death, Jesus' death, into his burial, and you rose again to a new life? Don't you know that's what took place when you were baptized into Christ? What else did Paul say? Paul says, don't you know that when you were buried with him in baptism, that there was a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of the old man. And it says that also in Romans 6. It says it also here in Colossians 2. I believe it's around verse 10 and 11. What did Paul say? Paul said in Galatians 3, I think it's verse 26 and 27, that we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, for as many as you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So go down into water and die and let those sins be washed away. Come up in newness of life and be clothed with Christ. That is what Peter is saying here. And it's amazing here. So repent, be baptized, every one of you. There was no such thing as a follower of Christ, a Christian in the early church that wasn't baptized. It just didn't happen. If you were a follower of Christ, you were baptized into Christ. There just wasn't such a thing as a follower of Christ that wasn't baptized into Christ Jesus. And then it says, your sins will be remitted. You will have forgiveness of sins. Now, I think I would like to continue this in our next session so that we can talk about this in a fuller understanding than just trying to rush in the next 2 minutes. So we'll take up where we left off here today, and we'll see you in the next session. God bless you.